Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever worked on a building project? You know, just a little building project. You know, if you ever did that, whether it's a new project or a refinishing kind of thing, you have to have a plan, and you have to have the money, and you have to have the materials, and hopefully some bit of expertise, or at least knowledge, and some workers or helpers. And, you know, if you do everything according to plan, sometimes it actually works. But we also know that if you start out with unlevel ground or corners that aren't quite square, it doesn't work quite as well. We all know that. We've all experienced that. We've all tried that, right? Well, today, welcome to the second week of Advent. And as I look around the village, there's Christmas trees and porches that are decorated. And yesterday we had Christmas in the park and even Santa came. Lots of rejoicing because we're preparing for Christmas, right? And today after the service, we are going to clean the sanctuary because we're preparing for the coming of Christ. Last week we talked about when Jonah went to the people of Nineveh. He talked to them and he said, "You're really messing up. You are seriously messing up. And if you don't do something, God is going to, there's consequences," right? And so the king went to the people of Nineveh and he said, "Okay, I want every person and flock and herd and animal to put on sackcloth and ashes and repent." And what we learned last week is it's through repenting, or even before we repent, that there's hope that if we follow the rules, that God will keep the promises. This week, we start out with Baruch, who was the secretary to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah spent decades telling the people, "You're messing up, you're messing up, you're messing up. If you don't change, God is going to, there's going to be consequences." And there was. The people went into exile for generations. And today, Baruch gives them a different message. He says, "Take off the garment of sorrow and affliction, Jerusalem, and put on the garment of salvation and God's glory." And he says, "Then you will wear this garment forever, forever." He tells the people of Israel that you are going to be brought back and that God will name you peace and righteousness and glory. And he says, "But first, God wants you to prepare. First, God has a project for you. You have to make every hill low and fill every valley and make the way straight for your people to come back." And that's what they did, and that's what they needed to do. They needed to prepare, and they needed to fit in with God's plan. They needed to remove all the obstacles and make it possible for the people to come back. And they did. Unfortunately, we don't put on that garment of salvation forever yet. We still kind of have bumpy places on our journey. But today we also hear the canticle of Zechariah. And the canticles are often said during morning or evening prayer, but today we said it as part of the Eucharist. And Zechariah, of course, is the father of John the Baptist. And it's a great story about how he was the priest in the temple. He went to the Holy of Holies, his opportunity once a year to go into the Holy of Holies, and there he was told that he would have a son. And he said, "How is that possible? Elizabeth is way too old, his wife, and she was barren." And he was struck dumb until he agreed to name the child John. So Elizabeth had the child. All the neighbors came and said, "What are you going to name him?" He said, he wrote down, "John." And then he could speak. And the very first words out of his mouth were the words we read today, the Song of Zechariah. Because he recognized in this child and in the message that he had been given in the temple and in the fact that he was struck dumb and now could speak, he recognized who this child was. This was the prophet that was going to prepare the way for the Lord. And he says, "You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give the people knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of their sins. See, Zechariah recognized that his child was that prophet who was going to prepare the way, and that this person who was coming next would bring forgiveness of sins to all the people. And then he continued, "In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." We're invited on that journey to be guided. And that was John's job, is to prepare the way. And so we hear the gospel today with John in the wilderness. And it starts out by telling us the historical setting that we're in. Tiberius has been the emperor for 15 years. Familiar name to us. Pontius Pilate, the governor. We know that name. Herod, the great master builder, was the ruler over Galilee. So from the Sea of Galilee down through Bethlehem, Herod was the ruler of that era. And then, of course, the temple priests were Annas and Caiaphas, and we know the name Caiaphas. So they're people that are very familiar to us, but we know historically where they were. And so this ties history and theology together. In the specific place and time, John the prophet went out into the wilderness. And we know the wilderness is the place for transformation. He goes out into the wilderness and tells the people, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And then quotes from Isaiah, "You must fill every valley. You must make every mountain and hill low. You must make the crooked places straight and the rough places a plain. You must make it possible for everyone to come." That was his role, is to proclaim that so that we could do that, because God has a plan. And the humans thought that they were in charge, the Romans thought they were in charge, and that they were telling us what to do, but John heard what he was called to do, like the prophets before him, that said, we've got to make it possible for everyone to come. We've got to get rid of all the high places, the low places, the rough places, the crooked places. We have to remove every obstacle that is in the way for every person on earth. We have to open our hearts and prepare our hearts, and we have to make some space in our lives as well so that we can help prepare for the coming of God. And John says to them, when that happens, and then all shall see the salvation of God. All shall see the salvation of God. And that's the promise this second week of Advent, is that we will be called righteousness and peace and the glory of God. When we can do that, when we can remove the obstacles, when we can prepare our hearts, when we can make space in our lives so that all people can come and see the salvation of God. And so this week I invite you to think about the ways that we can invest our time and talent and treasure and our whole being into preparing to make a way. Amen.